السلام عليك زين الأنبياء، السلام عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. نوينا تعلم التعليم والتذكر والتذكير والنفع والانتفاع والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضاته وقربه وثوابه سبحانه وتعالى. شهر مبارك to all of you. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. This blessed month has now entered, and we say with hearts loving the month of Ramadan, مرحباً يا شهر رمضان، مرحباً شهر العبادة، مرحباً يا شهر رمضان، مرحباً شهر سعادة. We say welcome, O month of Ramadan. Welcome, O month of worship. Welcome, O month of Ramadan. Welcome, O month of felicity. This is a month in which that you and I can attain unimaginable good. And one of the great ways that we can do that is to not only perfect our fasting and move up in its degrees, but to also work on our relationship with the Quran. And this is insha'Allah ta'ala what we will try to do from the lens of this great book of Hujjat al-Islam Imam Ghazali, the Kitab Adab Tilawat al-Quran, the book on the proprieties or the etiquettes of Quranic recitation, one of the 40 books of the Ihya Ulumuddin. And inshallah ta'ala, we hope that this will be means for both you and I to have a renewed relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And inshallah, what we'll be doing is after today, which we'll be focusing on the introduction, we will then be looking at the various etiquettes of Quranic recitation so that we can improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So let's get right down into the material. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi amtanna ala ibadihi bi nabihin mursal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa kitabin munzal alayhi. Praise be to Allah who has bestowed favor upon mankind by sending his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and revealing his book, i.e. the Quran. And so this is one of the greatest blessings of all for us to be believers. This is the greatest blessing of all for us to be believers and to have the Quran been sent to us through our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is surely from the divine favor. And then in description of this great book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Imam Ghazali says, الَّذِي لَا يَأْتِهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِي تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. To which falsehood cannot approach from before it or from behind it, and which is a revelation from the All-Wise, the Praiseworthy. حَتَّى اتَّسَعَتْ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْإِفْتِكَارِ طُرُقُ الْإِعْتِبَارِ بِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْقِصَصِ وَالْأَخْبَارِ. In consequence of this, the path of consideration from stories and reports of past events described in it has become broad for men of reflection. So this is the first thing that Imam Ghazali points us to. All of the opportunities in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book to take i'tibar, to learn lessons from the people of the past. And so it's important to note here when we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, the Quran has history in it, but it is not a book of history. And this is an important distinction that we make. There is sacred history in the Quran. And if you really think about all human events, everything that's ever happened from since the first man until now, such that it could be considered to be history, how many things is that? That's how many things are there that could be considered to be history? An unimaginable amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what was most important for us in his book, so that we can learn about the archetypes of the people who came before us, so that we can follow them if they are good, and we can avoid them if they are bad. But this is what i'tibar means. It means to take lessons. And it comes from the root abar ya'baru, which is to cross. So you cross from the outward dimension of that particular event or what is happening down to the lesson that you learn from it. And so this is really what we want. We want to think very carefully about our situation, thinking very carefully about those who came before us. Try to learn what those archetypes are and then strive to look around us and see how those archetypes manifest. This is of the utmost importance, because if we do not learn lessons from the people of the past, we will become lessons for the people of the future. And this applies in general, but it also applies to our own selves. If we don't learn lessons from things that we've done and they've gone sour, or there's been repercussions because of what we've done, then it will continue to happen and we will simply be a lesson for other people. So we have to learn from people of the past, just as we have to learn from mistakes that you and I have made. And then you have this word iftikhar that he used, which is points to reflection and really pondering deeply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. This is the month to do this. And one of the things that I would recommend everybody does, even if you can read Arabic, even if you understand much of what you read in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, I would highly recommend that an English-speaking person read a translation of the meanings of the Quran. And if you're going to read one, I would say read Professor Abdelhalim's translation of the meanings, or the Clear Quran by Dr. Mustafa Al-Khattab. May Allah Ta'ala preserve both of them. These really bring forth, kind of like a tafsir does, some of the meanings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. A translation is really almost like a tafsir. It's a translation of the meanings, because it is only the original Arabic expression that has to be that can really give so many meanings. When you translate it into a language, you are of course translating it in a very specific way. So I do recommend this, though, because sometimes we don't reflect the way that we should upon Allah Ta'ala's book. And by reading in addition to the Arabic in English that you can understand, the translation of the meanings, it helps you reflect upon Allah Ta'ala's book. Or then you could go back and just focus on the Arabic. But this is the month for reflection. This is the month where you and I can ponder deeply the meanings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. So, after mentioning the Quran and the blessing that came to the believers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that Imam Ghazali then says, وَاتَّضَحَ بِهِ سُلُوكَ الْمَنْهَجِ الْقَوِيمِ وَصِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ بِمَا فَصَّلَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ وَفَرَّكَ بَيْنَ الْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. Then he says, and the traversing of the straight path by following the rules of conduct he has expounded in it, and by observing the distinction he has made between the lawful and the unlawful, has become clear to mankind. So that through the Quran is that anyone who is traveling a straight path, a path of drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will find everything that they need in Allah's book. Is that there is detailed guidance about what to do. And if we are sincere with our Lord, this will be something that we allow to come to the surface of our heart, because it exists within us naturally. The want and desire to be in conformity with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created creation. All human beings want to be aligned at the depth of their being. But this is exactly what guidance does. It enables us to do so. And I'm reminded when I speak like that of early on, before this Abdul Fagir entered into this deen, and believing in God, but not having guidance, not knowing what to do. And I noticed what happened if you didn't have clear guidance. You get dragged into a whole bunch of different things. You end up doing things that will then derail you and be very detrimental to your spiritual state. And when I was searching and really wanting some form of guidance, when I came across Islam and I learned that what some of what Islam taught in the way that it regulates every aspect of your life, I welcome that wholeheartedly. And what a blessing to have guidance on all matters, where we have guidance that gives details into our, gives details for us for everything that it is that we can possibly do. And this is really what we must all think about when we think about the idea of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path, is that ultimately every decision that we make, everything that it is that we do, will be various degrees in closeness or distance from the middle, which is that straight path right where we want to be. And we have comprehensive guidance such that there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can even think about, except that ultimately there is a way that we can do it in a way that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the specific ways that this manifests is in relation to the ahkam, the legal rulings of the sacred law, which we all need. This is an essential part of guidance. And then closely related to that, the halal and the haram, what Allah has permitted and what are the various things that we have to avoid. So the Quran, فَهُوَ أَضْضِيَاءُ النُّورِ, is an illumination and a light. وَبِهِ النَّجَاتُ مِنَ الْغُرُورِ, by it is obtained deliverance from error and deception. وَفِي شِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and in it lies the healing of the diseases that exist in the heart. So all of this is found in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, and it is guidance. It is a light for us so that you and I can know the way that we need to go. And it's najat min an-nur. It will save us from deception. And this is one of the amazing things, that when you and I read Allah Ta'ala's book, it will completely remove our delusion if we listen and we pay attention and we reflect deeply on what it is that we are reciting. It will remove all of these clouds that are covering our thoughts. And one of the things that it's highly recommended, before that you have to make a major decision, something important that you need to decide on, it's highly advisable that you read Allah subhanahu's book. If you can do an entire khatam, from beginning to end, a complete reading, that's great. If not, read a portion of the Quran. Because sometimes our decisions are influenced by our hawa, by our desires. And when you read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, it gives us the perspective that we need to put everything in its proper place. And if indeed what was motivating us was some type of desire that was blameworthy, by reading Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, the door will open up for us to have clarity. And then hopefully we'll be given tawfiq from Allah, enabling grace to do what is right. And it's also a shifa, it's a shifa lima fi sudur, for that which is in our hearts. The Quran is there to heal us. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We reveal this Quran with that which is a shifa, a healing, and a mercy for the believers. And the more we embrace the meanings of this book, the more that we will become healthy and whole internally. مَنْ خَالَفَهُ مِنَ الْجَبَابِرَةِ قَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever goes against it and contradicts it from powerful men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will break their backs. That the Jababira are tyrants who are completely wreaking havoc in the earth. And this is really important, because there are definitely verses that are considered to be majestic in Allah Ta'ala's book. And we live in a world where there is so much injustice. And when you read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is going to happen to people who spread corruption and evil in the earth, you realize there's a Lord who's in control of everything. We have a Lord who's in control of everything. And even though we are drawn into believing that somehow that everything is going to play out ultimately in this world, we know through belief, this is the nature of the dunya, it's always going to be like this. But there are consequences for our actions, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it gives us a perspective that you and I need to have about what is happening in the world. It gives us a perspective on how to understand injustice and how to understand tyranny and people who do terrible things and the consequences of their actions, so that you and I can put everything in its proper place and making sure that if something's wrong, that we hate that wrong, and at the same time that we do what it is that we're supposed to do outwardly in relation to that wrong, and helping if there's some way that we can do that. وَمَنْ ابْتَغَى الْعِلْمَ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ. If anyone seeks knowledge from other than the Qur'an, Allah will lead them astray. And what is meant by that is, the Qur'an gives us the Qur'an gives us knowledge whereby which all other knowledge that we can acquire has to be understood through the knowledge that we get through the Qur'an. And the Qur'an that opens up our minds so that we can have true knowledge. And then as we, and this doesn't mean that we don't acquire other types of knowledge, but it gives us the perspective that we need to incorporate other types of knowledge into a worldview of Tawheed. And if people have knowledge that is not informed, that are in contradiction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, this is where we know is that they will start to fall into error. Huwa hablullah al-mateen, that it is the firmly held rope of Allah. It is the strong rope of Allah. And wa nuruhu al-mubeen, and it is his apparent or clear light. والعروة الوثقى, it is the firmest handhold. والمعتصم الأوقى, and the most dependable support. والمحيط بالقليل والكثير, نعم, and it encompasses that things, that all different things are encompassed, a little and a lot, والصغير والكبير, small and great. لا تنقضي أجائبه, is that its wonders will never end. ولا تتناهى غرائبه, and its amazing aspects will never finish. ولا يحيط بفوائد عند أهل الفهم تحديد, and the benefits that it gives can never be limited. So what are we learning? Is that every time that we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, it gives. There's more that we learn. There's more benefit that we derive. And then that, no matter how many times that we recite it, we never have what's called malal, boredom. The Quran continues to give. And there's a hadith that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yamal hatta tamallu. And the way we translate that is, as long as we don't become bored in worship, Allah will continue to give us reward for it. And this is the nature of humankind. We become bored fairly easy. And so from the blessing of Allah, we have a lot of different types of worship so that we don't get afflicted with boredom. And we should strive, though, to purify our hearts so that the heart becomes pure, so that that never even crosses the mind. That never even comes to the heart, i.e. that we get bored. And even saying that, a'udhu billah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, is extremely bad adab and bad manners. And as Uthman bin Affan, the great caliph, said, لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ تِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ, that were our hearts to become pure, we would never become satiated from the recitation of the Qur'an. We would always want to have more, do more and do more. And then we heard the verse in the previous session with Ustaz Amjad, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْشَدَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ وَلَمَّا سَمِعُوا الْجَنَّ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا أَنْ وَلُّوا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يهدي إلى رشدي فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. فكل من آمن به فقد وفق. Everyone who believes in Allah's book has been given tawfiq, enabling grace from Allah. وَمَنْ قَالَ بِهِ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. Whoever speaks with its verses has told the truth. وَمَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِهِ فَقَدْ هُدِي. And whoever clings to it will be guided. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. And whoever acts upon it will surely be successful. وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّا نَحْنَ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we have sent down the reminder, and indeed that we have taken it upon ourselves to preserve it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved His book. He has preserved that every single letter of His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's preserved the meanings of His book. He's preserved the recitation of His book. And this will remain preserved until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to lift it here, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from earth. It's been protected by Allah from any type of distortion. And alhamdulillah, anyone that has been in scholarly circles and visited the Muslim world and met people that have memorized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and are masters of the science of Quranic recitation, tajweed, and have sat with scholars who know tafsir and explanation of the meanings and can explain ulum al-Quran and the various sciences associated with the Quran, will come to know with certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book is preserved. As He said, tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ حِفْتِهِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ مُصَفْ إِسْتِدَامُ تِلَاوَتِهِ. So then He's going to now shift towards what it is that He's really going to be speaking about. And so He said, from the means of the preservation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book in the hearts and in the musahif, that is, copies of the Qur'an, is continual recitation of it. This is one of the ways that the book of Allah ta'ala is preserved. And I highly, highly recommend, if you look at trends that talk about percentages of other faith-based communities in relation to certain types of worship, the closer and closer that we get to the end of time, these percentages drop in relation to these different forms of worship. And so one of the statistics that is dropping is people's reading of scripture. And there's a lot of Muslims who might even be practicing Muslims who pray 5 daily prayers a day, but they don't read the Quran regularly. The Quran should be recited every single day by ourselves, in our homes, in our apartments, in our places of worship, and in other places. And we should also strive to learn the meanings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. If we're struggling with recitation, we should learn how to recite Allah's book, just as we should learn the meanings of His book subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can bring this to life. And this is one of the great ways for the Quran to be preserved. وَالْمُوَاضَبَ عَلَى دِرَاسَتِي. And also, continuously studying it. مَعَ الْقِيَامِ بِأَدَابِهِ وَشُرُوتِهِ. While upholding its conditions and etiquettes. And making sure to do what it is that we should be doing outwardly and inwardly. And this is what he's going to speak about in this blessed book. The first chapter speaks about the fadl of Qur'an, the merit of the Qur'an and its people. And since Ustad Amjad is going to be speaking about that in his lessons, we're going to skip over that and move to the adab al-tilawa fi al-dhahir, the various etiquettes of Quranic recitation outwardly, and then inshallah ta'ala we will get to the detailed inward etiquettes of recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, in hopes that our relationship will increase in this blessed month with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. May Allah attach our hearts to the Quran. May we come to love the Quran. And may we dedicate ourselves to learning the Quran and have an increased understanding of the Quran. Ya Rahman Rahmeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be people who recite it by day and by night, and who put it into practice in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.